you want to turn your idea into something bigger. You know you're capable of more. You may not believe it on most days, but there are some days where you like, man, I wish I could be doing that thing. And you can, and it's possible. But you got to get out of the way. You have to consistently create the content. You have to know that you're going to suck at the beginning and just keep going. So that if 30 people watch my video, that's still 30 people that went, like, that's 30 people, yo. That's 30 people who saw my video. And maybe one of those 30, that's a life-changing video for them. And so if you focus on who you are serving instead of who you aren't, it's a lot more fulfilling. It gives you a lot more motivation and it's more inspiring to keep going. And the people who you are serving take you to the people who you're not yet, because they end up loving your stuff. So just keep going. You have that Michael Jordan level genius. Your year could look dramatically different 1 year from today if you just showed up every day and made that content.
In this episode, we have Evan Carmichael joining us to talk about what it takes to succeed as a video entrepreneur in 2022. Evan is the guy that Gary Vaynerchuk referred to as the DJ who inspires people and the one that Ed Milet called the modern day Napoleon Hill. Evan Carmichael knows what it takes to succeed. At 19 years old, he built and then sold a biotech software company. That's at 19 years old. At 22 years old, he was a venture capitalist who turned $500,000 into $15 million. Evan, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here. Always good to have. You're the first fellow Canadian.
Let's go. Come on, Rob. Let's go. I love it. Thanks for having me, man. Happy to do it.
Yeah, always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure learning from you and speaking to you. So this is going to be just a casual catch up, but definitely going to be picking your brain. So before we jump into it, Evan, I don't think our audience needs an introduction to who you are, because I think a lot of them know who you are already. But just in case, who are you? What do you do? And just a little bit of your backstory.
I don't know, man. What would you say?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've got my introduction of what I think. I mean, you've been in this business entrepreneurship thing since like what, 19? Like, I was reading some of your stuff. Like, you sold a biotech company at 19. Is that correct?
Yeah, 19. I had a lot of entrepreneurial tendencies growing up, but I'm how old am I now? I'm 41 now. I have to look at the year every time to see. And being an entrepreneur wasn't a thing. Like, nobody even knew what it was. It wasn't a word that people knew, really. So I have a lot of entrepreneurial tendencies and little businesses and baseball cards and that kind of stuff, but nothing ever serious. 19 to 22, I had a biotech software company with two partners that, I struggled mightily in and were some of the worst days of my life. More just mentally of feeling like a garbage human being that sucks and can't get his business going anywhere, to then having success, whirlwind, you know, story at the last year, sold it, became a venture capitalist, mostly because I didn't know what to do. You know, I sold my business, never had to raise money, was always interested in the idea of raising money. So I joined a VC firm to learn that process. And while I was doing that, I started my website off my name and started writing articles. And I think that your purpose ultimately comes from your pain, that whatever you struggled with the most as a human is what you want to help other people with. So my biggest pain moments were 19-year-old Evan struggling to get his business off the ground. And now, you know, over 20 years later, I'm still making this interview, you know, I'm still making content to try to help entrepreneurs who are trying to get their business off the ground. It's still my greatest passion because it comes from my deepest pain. I think people would probably know me most from my YouTube channel, which I started in April 2009, I believe. So it's been a while. It's been a few minutes, and made a bunch of content. Oh, you're showing. Oh, that's my Instagram on screen.
It is your Instagram?
It's my Instagram. Yeah. And yeah, just trying to help entrepreneurs believe more in themselves, chase down their Michael Jordan level genius, and turn it into something that changes the world.
I love it, man. That is your hashtag, right? Hashtag believe. Hashtag believe. Yeah. No, what I really like about your Instagram is that you're always posting. I think at least once a year you post how many subscribers you've had at the beginning of the year. It's kind of seeing like that journey, which is really good. I think it shows like, hey, this is a long-term thing to be on YouTube and be an entrepreneur and growing your audience and your reach. And it's really humbling to see.
Yeah, there's probably one on there. We probably posted one at the beginning of the year, if you scroll down a bit. And I think it's I try to do it because it's encouraging, hopefully, that people can compare themselves to me.
There it is.
There it is. Mm-hmm. People can compare themselves to me and see how much I suck. Yeah, so there we go. January 1, 2010, 91 subscribers.
91.
And then next year, we doubled, baby. 224, and then 626.
And then you tripled
Let's go. I mean, but if you look at that, I'm you know, by year five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have 5,000 subscribers after 5 years of making content, you know? Yeah, and then things start to go. And a lot of it was me just getting out of my own way and getting better. And I was shy. I mean, still I am shy, introverted, wasn't comfortable in front of the camera. And so I put it up to try to show people that it wasn't an overnight success, but also that, hey, if you just keep going, you know, I just kept going. Yeah. I just kept making content. I just kept putting up another video and another video and another video. And these often do the best. And people put some of these up as their desktop backgrounds to say, I'm going to beat Evan Carmichael. I was like, yes, go. I think a lot of people listening, watching, probably already ahead of me on that journey. And they just quit a little bit too soon. It's definitely been a fun ride, and just going to keep plugging away.
No, that's awesome, man. So many achievements. I mean, I know I want to get into some questions and everything, but you have, I was reading, you've set 2 world records. Is that right? You've written 4 books. And I mean, you speak everywhere. Not right now. I mean, travel's crazy, but you're being invited and you've spoken at some of the biggest stages, you know, in our industry. And you own Canada's largest salsa studio, salsa dance studio, not salsa dance studio. So I mean, you got it with your wife. So you got to share a little bit about that, like with
the salsa dancing. So
yeah,
I think, listen, I think you should have a hard time explaining what you do. Like when somebody asks you, hey Rob, what do you do?
That's a good one.
And you just said, oh, I'm an accountant. You know, like that's and obviously Rob's not an accountant, but I think you should have a hard time explaining what you do. You know, I think you should have multiple interests and passions, and in mixing those together, that's how you make you uniquely you. So when people ask me, what do you do, or to introduce myself, I'll often flip it like I did here. Like, well, I don't know, Rob, what do you think?
I saw that. I didn't expect that.
I hate answering that question, especially at a networking event. Like, I don't know, man, what do? I don't know. I'm an entrepreneur. Salsa dancing has had a special spot in my heart. Growing up, I never learned to dance, and I always felt awkward dancing. Maybe it's just a Canadian thing or a North American thing. We don't learn dancing growing up. It's not really part. At least it wasn't part of my culture. We didn't learn it in school or anything. And when I got to university, I thought, I want to learn to dance. And I went with my girlfriend at the time, and we did ballroom dancing. And I loved it and she hated it. so we quit after, you know, a semester or two, because you need to have a partner to do it. And I'm not going to go ask some other girl to dance and be my partner while I'm in, I don't know, it felt weird. So I stopped.
Yeah, that's weird.
We broke up at some point, not because of the dancing, just, you know, grew apart, I guess. And the first thing I thought was, you know what? I can go back to dancing now. I mean, I always wanted to do it and we couldn't together. So I'm going to go dancing. And I picked up salsa, and I love salsa dancing because you don't have to have one partner. You're always switching partners. Even if I went with Nina, my wife now, to a salsa club, we dance together, but we'd also dance with other people. It's just part of the culture of the dance. And this is one of those interesting moments where on paper, it didn't look like I would be any good. I was too tall. I take big steps. I don't speak Spanish. I didn't learn dancing growing up. I don't understand, you know, the music and the instruments and all of these things that seemed to be against me on paper, but I just wanted to do it. You know, it was in my heart. And how many times are the things that are in your heart that you want to do, but your head's telling you, well, you can't do it because of X, Y, Z, right? How many times creators want to create videos or branch out into something new, and like, but you can't logically because of this, but like your heart wants you to do it. And so I've tried to teach myself that I make the big decisions in life with my heart and the small ones with my head. And so I just went and did it, even though I would probably suck at it. And I did suck at it. And it took me a long time to get good at it. And then fast forward to today, you know, I own the largest dance studio in the country. I met my wife through salsa dancing. It's had a huge impact on my life. It's been a fun activity, hobby, social circle for me, all because I just listened to what my heart wanted to do instead of my head telling me that I can't.
Yeah. Nice, man. Nice. You know what this is an observation, but like what you do really well. And cause I catch your Instagram lives. You just have like, you're always going, you're always creating content and everything. But I find that you're really good at taking one lesson from one part of your life and sort of applying it to another thing, just like what you're doing here right now, like with salsa dancing and then applying it to business, right? You know, all these things, like, I think a lot of people, that's hard to do. That's like, oh, this is just a thing that I learned and it's for creating content. But that has nothing to do with how I raise my kids or how I, you know, have my relationships and stuff. So I don't know. I think that's just one of the traits that you have. I don't know if that you've been told that before. Or,
It's practice. It's practice. It's a combination also of me just recognizing how much things are intermixed together. If you asked me that when I first started salsa dancing, I don't know, when I was, how old was I? I was at just out of university, or maybe last year. So like early 20s. I wouldn't have had that clear an answer and be able to tie all those pieces together. I just like, I don't know. I wanted to do it. And so I did it. That would have been my answer back then. But also in trying to just bring value to others, you know, and trying to bring value to your audience and this show and make it, I think all of our stories matter. And I think all of our, I'm doing it again right now. You know, I think all of our stories matter. I think how you win as a creator is when you can tell your story in a way that other people see themselves in you and you give them hope and inspiration. So maybe a tangent, maybe not. I'm sitting on an airplane and I'm introvert and shy. I don't talk to people on the airplane next to me. I never say hi. I kind of just put my headphones on and go. But this woman kept, I don't know, something about her. And she wanted to talk to me and she found out that I did YouTube videos. And she said, oh, my husband or my boyfriend is a male nurse and he does YouTube videos. And how can his channel grow? And once I find out that you're a YouTuber or an entrepreneur, I was like, yes, I'm ready to talk. Introvert hat goes away. Yeah. We're talking. And here was the thing. So I said, okay, well, what does your husband do? He makes videos about hiking trails in Seattle. And he does reviews of hiking trails in Seattle. But he's having a hard time growing a channel. I said, well, tell me what he does. And he's basically showing every trail and every hill and every tree and everything. He's like, well, so who's going to watch his video? The only people who would watch that video are people who care about going on the hiking trail to that hiking trail in Seattle. Right. So I mean, I don't know how many people hike in Seattle, you know, a good portion, but it's by definition, a very limited market. So then I asked her, well, why did he start this channel? And this is where it gets really interesting. Like, how can creators blow up in telling a bigger story? Why did he start this channel? And she said, because he's a male nurse. All he sees are people in the hospital with illnesses. That's his entire, you know, work life. And he gets frustrated because a lot of the problems that people are coming in for would be solved if they just walked. Like, if they just went outside and got a little bit of activity, spent some time in the sun and just walked, like not going, signing up for the Navy SEALs or something, you just walk every day a little bit. And so that's why he wanted to start the channel. Said, so if you take that mission and that purpose and that story that you've got to try to help people just walk and be mobile and not get sick anymore and turn that into a bigger mission for the channel, what you could do, it still show the Seattle trails, but it would inspire me in Toronto, Canada to want to go outside and walk myself. So it becomes less about, oh, look at this chipmunk. And when you hit this, you know, bend on the trail, there's going to be, you know, this tree that hangs over, right? Less about that and more just showing me what hiking is like and the joys and the wonder. And it'll inspire me to go off and go hiking. Right here in Toronto, Canada, right? Like if you can do that, then your channel could blow up and you can do the same hiking trail, but the storytelling and the positioning changes to make you have a much bigger impact. And so I think that's where a lot of creators will get locked in, is like they're stuck with just one little tiny story where you've got so much more inside you. You've got a much bigger purpose that if you just extrapolated that story out and help people see it, you're going to spread so much more hope, so much more joy, so much more inspiration, and your channel will grow up as well.
That's so true, man. Yeah, I'm thinking as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the content that I watch, you know, sort of like the for fun stuff, not the, you know, tutorials and stuff like that. And I'll watch vlogs from guys doing, doing the camper life thing, you know, and like just like taking their families out, going camp. And it's like, I'm not going to go where they're going, but I'm like, hey, this weekend, guys, you know, let's get out. Let's go hiking. Let's do something outside, nature. So yeah, you're right. But that is because they're storytelling, and it's not like, yeah, this is the path, this is my hike, you know. So yeah, nothing specific, but it's the bigger story. You're kind of like reading my mind of the questions I wanted to ask you in this session, which is really for video creators, right? Like it's, you know, the beginning of the year, you know, things are changing. We've got the pandemic. There's been a skyrocket of entrepreneurs and video creators, right? I think video creators kind of falls into like small business owners, you know, as they start to build revenue streams. There's a big skyrocket of that. Lots of people, you know, gravitating to that. So I'd love to hear from you, somebody that's like been doing, you know, been in business entrepreneurship since you were 19, last 20 years plus. What's the difference in what it takes to succeed as a video creator now versus like what may have taken, you know, when you started and when you started your channel, you know, versus now with Instagram and TikTok and so many shiny objects, you know, YouTube shorts, you know, all of these things. And then off platform revenue streams, right? Memberships, all of this stuff. How do you navigate through that, you know, if you're an entrepreneur in the video space?
I think it's only easier now. If you look back to when I started in 2009, education wasn't a thing on YouTube. Like people were not making long form educational content. I remember I made a 6-minute video and a lot of the people around me in the space are saying 6 minutes that this video's dead. Like that's way too long. Nobody's going to watch that. I remember somebody telling me, you don't understand how the internet works. And now like 6 minutes is like, I'll do 3-hour videos at Crush, right? It's just how far it's come along, and that there's so many different ways to win. So a couple of things I'm giving advice for creators. One, start with what do you want people to feel when they're consuming your content? So I want people to feel belief in this interview, in everything I post on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, et cetera. I may not always accomplish it, but it's always the goal. So like you watching the video of the family going camping, hopefully the people who are making a video, when they accomplish it right, they're thinking, we want people, what's the value here? What do we want people to feel? Like family time. And maybe you don't even go camping. Maybe you go rent an Airbnb and take your family with you. And it's more about family time than about that one specific camping trip. And so most creators don't start with that in mind. It's like, oh, I'm just going to tell a story of how I'm doing X. And that can work, but it's a small sample of what it could be. So what do you want people to feel when they're consuming your content? How are they going to become a better person or more inspired in some way because they watched your video? Next, there's so many different platforms. I would combine what you love doing with where you can make money. And that's not just content creators, that's entrepreneurship. Like you win when you are combining what you absolutely love doing with what can pay you money. A lot of people start a YouTube channel because YouTube is the hotness and I'm gonna be rich off of YouTube. And you could be, but if you don't love doing it, you've lost. You know, like if Rob doesn't love talking to people and getting their stories out, he shouldn't do this show, right? Like you have to love the thing and then find a way to make money doing it in that combination, right? Big decisions with the heart, small ones with the head. So there's so many different platforms that you could get on. All of them can work. What do you love doing? If you're going to TikTok and you're loading it up and it's like, oh man, this feels like work. You're not going to win if it feels like work. So there's so many different ways to win now compared to before. All of them can work. What do you feel drawn to that when you are spending time doing it, time seems to fly? I look at my calendar today. We're recording this on a Thursday. Thursday is my public facing day. It's all day training, interviews, podcasts, like from morning to night, all day long with 5 minute breaks in between. I look at the calendar. I see Rob in the calendar. I'm like, let's go. This is going to be a great day. I'm excited. Come on, Rob. We're going to catch up. We're going to, right? If I saw Rob in there, like, oh man, Rob, this guy, Jesus Christ, you know, man, he's going to ask you stupid questions, right? Like, if that's how I'm feeling, I shouldn't be doing interviews, or I shouldn't be doing interviews with Rob, right? So you should have things in your calendar that make you feel excited. Because if you're looking forward to the things in your calendar, you're going to show up with completely different energy than if you feel like, oh man, I got to go do that thing, right? So there's so many different ways to win. What do you, all of them can work. Don't stress out about having to pick the right one. Try them. The best thing to do is try all 8 options, or however many you think there are, and give it half an hour each, and then see which one you actually just end up spending 4 hours on because you lost track of time. That's the right one for you.
That's it. That's it. So in terms of that then, because there are so many different ways. So like I guess my question would be, there's a lot of content creators that I talk to, and they're very focused on being a content creator, fancy videos and things like that. There's another set of content creators that have like figured out how to go full time. And sometimes it's not about the size of their audience. They've just been a little bit more strategic in like how they distribute their content or how they set up their businesses in the back end and, you know, mechanisms and all that stuff, mm-hmm. the business side of it. So what do you feel is like, what's the difference from like that, you know, hobbyist that versus the content creator or video entrepreneur that goes full time? Doing this, doing what they love and sort of letting go of the 9-to-5 and going full time. Like, what is that in general difference?
Yeah, I would
difference?
Say 2 things. One is making sure you put in your calendar content creation time, like the consistency. So every Tuesday for me is my YouTube day. I'm making videos every Tuesday, every Tuesday, every Tuesday. It's blocked off in my kind. If you know that it's important to you, mm-hmm. but it's not blocked off in your calendar, something else is always going to come up. You know, work's going to come up, family's going to come up, Rob's new podcast is going to come up. Like, something's going to come up that then takes you away from the thing because it was never blocked off. And if you wait until you feel inspired, or you wait until you have chunks in your calendar open to do it, you'll just very rarely do it. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of people when they're getting started, is they start and they stop and they start and they stop and they start and they stop, and they never actually gain the consistency. Tied to that, maybe like 1B, is expect to suck at the beginning. Like, just expect to suck. It doesn't mean that you suck as a human. It just means you don't have the skill sets yet. When you go back, it's why I show my every year over year over year growth, because I sucked. Like, go back and watch all those videos. People take down their early videos a lot because they're too embarrassed. Like, they're all there. Go back, watch me in a suit, sweating, you know, just being nervous, trying to memorize scripts. Like, they're all still up there. You can go back and watch. Rob's going to pull one up and embarrass me on the amazing. Like, guys, it took me 350 videos, public videos, until I wasn't completely embarrassed by myself. I couldn't watch back my own videos on YouTube.
Oh, here's one. Here's one I found. I don't know if this is an older one.
Yeah, that's my first video on the channel. Yeah. That's Evan in a suit with some hair, trying to memorize with hair.
With hair.
Fancy. Wow. Thought I had to be fancy. Yeah. You know, the little lamp behind me, memorizing my script, realizing I suck at memorizing. And as a result, this video is mostly B-roll with my voice over it because I couldn't memorize long enough to have the video come out. That was my first video. Like, just expect to suck. There's 3 comments on there for a reason, because, if you load that up again, there's 3, like on my face, there's 3 comments underneath.
Right there. Yeah.
So
this is a very good video. Thank you.
Yeah. So one of them, the first one is my mom. The second one is my older sister. Yes, I love this story. And the third one is some random guy, ABC TV ads. That was some random guy. So, and this was after 1 year of this video being up. I had 3 comments, and one was my mom and one was my older sister. So really, one guy, one random person in a year of this video being up left a comment on my video, right? So just expect to suck. 350 videos, public videos, before I wasn't completely embarrassed and couldn't watch them back. 700 public videos before I inspired myself, where I made a video and I watched it back. Like, you know what? Like, I might be starting to get this thing. That's not bad, that one right there. 700 videos in, right? And I think most of your audience can get there way faster than me, which is why I try to share these stories. And thank you for helping kind of pull them out of me and put the numbers up on Instagram and YouTube, because people don't expect to be great, but they expect to be better than they are. What I mean by that is, if you're going to start a podcast, you might say, well, who's the greatest podcasters? Oh, we're look at Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss and Rob, you know, our heroes of podcasting. And it's like, okay, I won't be there. If those are like the A-plus tier, I won't be there yet, but I'll be like I think I could be a B-minus. I'm pretty good at having conversations. I'm pretty good at asking questions. I think I'll be a B-minus. And then you go and you make your first video, you make your first podcast, and you freeze and the lights are on and all of a sudden, like, you blanked out on what you're going to say and you're stumbling, and then you watch it back like, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to be a B minus, but I'm an F. Like, that was brutal. I suck. You know? So we don't expect to be great, but we expect to be better than we actually create. And then why that's so dangerous is because you are an F, you feel like you'll always be an F, and then you stop. So people just never make episode two. I've been on people's first episodes. Like, I'll be your first guest on your show. And then they never release the show because they feel they did so badly and that podcasting isn't for them. Like, oh my God, just put out the episode, right? Like, it's okay to stumble, right? Yeah. So I love showing the stumbles and the mistakes. And if you just expect to suck and not tie that into your self-worth, right? Like, the fact that you suck at a skill doesn't mean you suck as a human. In fact, it's the opposite. Like, the fact that you tried and you released it means you're amazing as a human. Keep going. Right. So that's where I think a lot of people get stuck. It's not in their schedule, and they expect to be better than they are at the skill set at the beginning. The second part is turn into a business, right? So, like, we need to start making money doing this. As you start making money, it gives you more hope and encouragement and belief in the ability to quit the job or go more full time into it. Making money is really, really, really important. I like to say, money has to be in your top five. It can't be number one. I think most people grow up with an unhealthy view on money. Some people think money is everything. You know, in the next video that I make, that's going to be my purse, or that's going to be my car, or, you know, I'm doing the YouTube channel just to buy a house or whatever. No, like, you've already lost. And some people think that money is the root of all, you know, right? And the actual quote is, the love of money is the root of all evil, but we shorten it to money is the root of all evil. And it's not either, right? Like, those people never make money. And so money is important. Even if you're a charity, you have to make money to sustain the charity. So money has to be in your top five, but it can't be number one. That's all. Like, the reason why you do this channel is number one, but in 2 to 5 has to be making money. So how do we start making money as a small channel? A lot of people start way too broad. A lot of people, they'll make a video just about, you know, motivation for entrepreneurs. Like, if you made that video of how to stay motivated as an entrepreneur, it's just too broad. You're going up against Tony Robbins and Mel Robbins and Evan Carmichael and Grant Cardone and Gary Vee, and they're better at it than you are anyway, right? Because it's your first video. So that video is likely going to tank. Yeah. What you want to do is get more niche. So I was just talking earlier today with somebody who now has 500 subscribers on his channel. He starts making niche content only directed to his target audience. He has a business on top of it that he's trying to use YouTube to generate referrals for his business. From using the content strategy I gave him, he had 100 subscribers at the time. So he went from 100 to 500 subscribers, you know, whoop-de-doo, great. Awesome growth, but, you know, not a million subscribers. But most importantly is, at 100 subscribers, using that video, he got a client for his business that turned into a six-figure deal for his company. And now he's getting a 5 to 6 figure deal every single week from his YouTube channel that now has 500 subscribers. So the growth of the channel is great, 100 to 500, but the growth of the business is just huge for him. He's over the moon happy. So Can you think about a business that ties into the content that you're making? It could be a product or service that you're actually selling yourself. It could be somebody else's product or service that you're hooking into. Advertising is great. I mean, at the beginning, it's how do I get 1,000 subs? How do I get my 4,000 watch hours so I can start making that juicy YouTube ad revenue? But it's not that much when it first comes in anyway. You know, like you're not quitting your job off of 1,000 subs and 4,000 watch hours. So there's nothing wrong with ad revenue. It's a great model. But think about how can you help a specific audience? Don't go too broad. A specific audience, how can you help them? And what are the products and services that they need, whether you can offer it yourself or you can partner with somebody to offer it for them so that you start making money while bringing value, right? I mean, we're not just ripping off our viewers. We're giving them some value, but they want to go the next level with you. They want more access to you or the product or service that you used. Because when you start bringing in more money, it makes you feel like this can work. You know, it makes you feel like, oh my gosh, there's some momentum. Even your first 10 bucks, like, oh my gosh, I made 10 bucks. Like, I'm not just spending money on gear and all this stuff. It's actually happening.
Yeah, it's validation a little bit, right? So like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'm going down the right track. No, that's so much good advice there. On the other side of the coin, I'm curious because there are a lot of creators that are trying everything right now. They're trying all sorts of platforms and all sorts of things and all sorts of revenue streams, setting up merch stores, you know, all that stuff. I'm curious, is there a point, you know, that you advise people, okay, go to a certain point, but at some point you do have to maybe shut down this channel or this effort, you know, into this particular path of revenue and pivot or explore other revenue streams or you know, direct your resources to focus on other streams.
If it's going to be what you're actively spending your time on, it's better to narrow your focus. Mm-hmm. Diversity of revenue streams is great when you're investing. Yeah. So like it's great investment advice mm-hmm. to diversify because if you don't know what you're doing and you pick the wrong company and it tanks, you're kind of screwed. So you want to diversify. But Andrew Carnegie, you know, one of the guys that I model and try to learn from, was the richest person of all time when he was alive. And he said, put your eggs all in one basket and then watch that basket. It's funny to see, maybe not funny, maybe more sad to see people bragging about, oh, I've got 14 streams of passive income from my YouTube channel and they're all earning like 2 cents, right? Like how much are you actually making, right? That really, really, really matters versus just having multiple streams because you'll end up spending, honestly, you'll spend more time. This isn't just YouTubers, this is entrepreneurs in general. You spend more time opening up new revenue streams without actually optimizing and honing in on one that could actually blow you up. Like if your goal, what's your goal? You wanna quit your job? How much does that take? You need 50K a year, 100K a year, or you've already done that. Now you wanna be $1 million business or $2 million, I don't know, whatever your goal is. It's not going to be you being stretched thin across 14 different revenue streams. It's likely going to be you honing in on the one thing that's going to help you actually blow up your business. And if you want to have fun and dabble and play in the other areas, fine, but that you're spending most of your time on a thing that has the highest chance of actually getting the result that you want.
Amazing. Well, Evan, time flies, like you said. It's just, you know, is this something that you enjoy or is this something you dread? But this, you know, the conversations with you just always flies. You just always share so much knowledge. We need to get you back on because I want to respect your time. So for now, where can people connect with you, catch your content, everything that you're sharing? Because you're dropping so many wisdom bombs pretty much every single day.
Yeah, wherever you're at. I mean, I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. We pulled up some of the stuff already. Wherever you're at, I'm probably hanging out there. Come say hi. My Discord server I'm in every day, which is fun, just off evancarmichael.biz, I think is the link to get there. But I think the most important maybe closing message is to remove the blockers that you're listening to this podcast for a reason. You love Rob for a reason. You want to turn your idea into something bigger. You know you're capable of more. You may not believe it on most days, but there are some days where you like, man, I wish I could be doing that thing, and you can, and it's possible, but you got to get out of the way. You have to consistently create the content. You have to know that you're going to suck at the beginning and just keep going. And one of the things that helped me the most, and just in closing, is I always focused on who I did have instead of who I didn't, because the who I didn't have game never ends. You know, I've How many subscribers I have? 3 million subscribers now. Well, why is it not 4 or 5 or 7 or 10? Like the Who I Don't Have game never ends. People ask me, how did you stay motivated in the early days? It's the same thing that keeps me motivated now. It's like, I feel like I'm touching somebody. So that if 30 people watch my video, that's still 30 people that went, like, that's 30 people, yo. That's 30 people who saw my video. And maybe one of those 30, that's a life-changing video for them. And so if you focus on who you are serving instead of who you aren't, it's a lot more fulfilling. It gives you a lot more motivation and it's more inspiring to keep going. And the people who you are serving take you to the people who you're not yet because they end up loving your stuff. So just keep going. You have that Michael Jordan level genius. Your year could look dramatically different 1 year from today if you just showed up every day and made that content.
Thank you so much, Evan. Thank you for your friendship and just for being such a good steward of the attention and like the knowledge that you have for the community out here.
So, awesome. Yeah, thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me, man.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Evan Carmichael. Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any of the new episodes as they're published. And if you want to learn more about using Uscreen for your own business, or you want to join our affiliate partner program, head over to uscreen.link/podcast to get more information. And I'll see you in the next episode.